Did everybody get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, Jonathan, do you have any more, or are we all out? If you need a handout, put your hand up, and he can get you one. Pastor Matt over here. All right, let us pray. Father God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we've come to gather again today to worship you. And we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in this church. We are your people, and we thank you. Now, Lord, as we open the book of Proverbs, we ask that you would give us your wisdom, that you would give us the spirit of wisdom, that we may walk in your ways. Lord, teach us today that the wisdom of getting counsel and heeding correction, that we may walk circumspectly before you, Lord. That we may be wise in all that we do, because we are your people, and we want to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your handout, you'll see that we're looking at Proverbs that cover counsel and correction. I've compiled what I've seen as the Proverbs that speak on that topic. I could have missed some, so this is by no means a comprehensive list. I may have overlooked it. I may have not found one. But as far as I can tell from what I've gone through in Proverbs, these are the Proverbs that address this topic. And if you've been with us as we've been going through Proverbs, we covered the prologue and we went verse by verse through the first 9 chapters. But now we are into the actual Proverbs, and it gets very hard to do that. So we're doing it by topic. Last time we were together looking at Proverbs, we looked at pride and humility, and that the wise person is humble, that the wise person is someone who fears the Lord and is not wise in their own eyes, to be a know-it-all, to think that you've got everything figured out for yourself. But the wise, those who fear the Lord, know that they don't have everything figured out. The wise are humble and know that they need to learn wisdom. They need to learn wisdom from above. They need to learn wisdom from others. And I will remind you that the book of Proverbs, we are reading this as those who are God's people. The book of Proverbs is giving us wisdom, God's people wisdom, for how we ought to live. Living in according to God's design, the way God has created things to be. I have to say that I have failed to address one thing in Proverbs thus far that I wish I would have emphasized more up to this point, but will be emphasizing now. And that is the role of the Holy Spirit in our walking in wisdom. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Wisdom. It says that Jesus will have the Spirit of Wisdom in Isaiah. And that the way that we walk in wisdom, the way that we're able to be wise, is that we have the Spirit of Wisdom. That we have the Holy Spirit. And we need to have that strong understanding, that strong doctrine, that strong walk, but that strong understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for my brother Jerry, who emphasizes that so much and has reminded of me that so much. And I'm thankful for him and his emphasis on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because as we see throughout the scriptures, without the Holy Spirit, we are hopeless. We will fail over and over and over again. We need the Spirit to walk in the way of wisdom. And so we even actually will see as we go through these passages that we have the Spirit who's called the Counselor, that we have the Counselor, the one who gives us this wisdom and who counsels us in the right way. Now, if you look at the outline on there, I've broken them down into 4 main categories. As you go through these Proverbs, they seem to categorize themselves in 4 different areas that they're addressing when it comes to getting counsel or being corrected. So first we're going to look at correction, being rebuked or being corrected by a wise person or a fellow believer, and how a wise person responds to correction, how a wise person receives correction, and correspondingly how a fool responds and receives correction. And then the last 2 points, points 3 and 4 are that in the realm of seeking counsel, of seeking knowledge, of seeking what is right before we have to do things, before we make decisions, and also the being the person to serve the rebuke or serve that counsel to others. So first, if you look at 12:1, Proverbs 12:1. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." I love how Proverbs just puts it so bluntly sometimes. Whereas much of the law says, "Thou shalt not do this," Proverbs often says, "Don't do that because it's stupid. Just don't do it. It's dumb. You do that and it's going to be really bad for you." All right, so it says here that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Now, if you remember when we looked at the prologue, the one word that pops up often was instruction. And we talked about how that word is the same word, which could be translated discipline. And that the call for the son to heed the instruction, the discipline of his father. Well, here it says that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. That is, the aim is to have knowledge, to have that wisdom. We've seen throughout Proverbs as a synonym for wisdom. That if your aim is knowledge, if your aim is wisdom, then you will love discipline. It's the means to you getting knowledge, the means to you becoming wise. So we learn that the attitude here of the wise person, your attitude, if you want to be wise, if you want to walk according to the way God would have you walk, then you need to be someone who loves discipline. You love to be corrected when you're wrong. You love the discipline of the Lord, we are told in Proverbs 3. Remember, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Love the Lord's rebuke. Love his discipline in your life. Love it when if you're a child, love your parents' discipline because they love you and they're disciplining you because they want to see you walk in a way that honors the Lord. They want to see you do what is right. Maybe you receive a rebuke from a fellow believer or an elder. Love to be disciplined because it leads to wisdom. It leads to knowledge. Correspondingly to that, though, if you hate reproof, you're stupid. Now, this word stupid quite literally means that you're no different than an animal. In Psalm 73:22, he says, "I was a dumb brute. I was a dumb animal." This word is always used in reference, or most of the time, in reference to an animal. So the idea is that you're no better than a dumb animal who can't learn from your mistakes. That you're not willing to learn from being disciplined, from being trained. And actually, even animals learn from training. But the fool hates reproof. The fool doesn't learn from reproof. In Proverbs 15:12, we see that a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A scoffer hates it. He hates to be reproved. Remember when we've talked about these different terms for the fool. That there's the simpleton who's not quite made a decision yet for wisdom or for folly. It could be is moldable. You have multiple terms for a foolish person, but that's someone who's chosen the path of folly, whose life is characterized by folly. And then you have the most hardened apostate, which is a scoffer, someone who scoffs at all things wise. The person who scoffs at God's people, scoffs at God, who mocks God, who mocks what is good, who mocks what is right. And so if your life is characterized by not liking to be reproved, then your characteristic is more like a scoffer than a wise person. And if you're a child of God, if you walk with the Lord, then you ought to have a spirit of humility and one who is willing to receive correction. One who's willing to receive correction from the Lord, one who's willing to receive correction from others in the very fact being that you love it. That you love to be corrected because you know that you mess up. You know that you have problems in your life. You know that you have sin in your life. You know that there's areas that you need to change. You know you have blind spots. You know there's areas that you don't even realize that you hurt others with, that you're dishonoring the Lord with. You don't realize it. And so we need someone else to come and to rebuke us, to correct us And the wise person loves that because they want to do what's right. The wise person wants to be wise, and so the wise person loves correction. So if your life is, if right now your attitude is that you hate correction, that you hate to be disciplined, you hate to be guided in the right direction, then you're more characteristic of a fool than a wise person. The second thing we learn from Proverbs is that the wise don't only love correction, but the wise also learn from correction. It really isn't wise to continue to learn, to be rebuked in the same area and to continue to go back to it. It says a fool is like a dog that goes back to its vomit. And when we do that, we're acting more like a fool than a wise person. And the wise person is the one who learns from correction, who isn't always, you know, you can put on the persona of loving correction, can't you? You can have people tell you when you're doing something wrong and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then go back and do the same thing again and again and again. But according to Proverbs, if that's you, then you're actually a fool. You're acting as a fool. Because the wise person doesn't only love to be corrected, but the wise person learns from correction. Learns from correction. If we look at what chapter is that? 15, 31 through 33. It says, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction or discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence, or quite literally, heart. The fear of the Lord is instruction or discipline and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. See, it says that the ear that listens. Now in the Bible, when it says listen or it says hear, it's not just saying using this organ here, not just receiving it into your mind, but it means actually taking it to heart, actually obeying it, actually, you know, conforming your life to that. So the person who listens is the person who has received it, who has let it come into their heart, who believes it and who lives by it. So it doesn't just mean the person who listens just audibly to reproof, but the person who actually heeds reproof. Says that the ear that listens or, you know, obeys, understands, comprehends, takes into their hearts, life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. That means you will become wise. You will become one who is in the company of the wise. You will become wise yourself. Corresponding to that, whoever ignores discipline despises himself. They despise themselves. They lead themselves to all sorts of folly. But if you listen, if you take into heart reproof, you will gain heart. You will gain intelligence. You will gain sense. You will gain, it'll control the very center of who you are. So the wise not only listen, not only love correction, but they also learn from correction. They also learn from correction. Look at Proverbs 19:20. Just one more verse on listening to counsel. Listen, verse 19:20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Accept it. Accept that discipline. Accept it, heed it, and let your life be conformed by wise discipline. In Proverbs 17:10, we saw that. Or we can see in Proverbs 17:10 that it says, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Love how Proverbs put things sometimes. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Now this word, the 100 blows, is quite literally the idea of flogging. It's the same word used throughout the Old Testament to indicate flogging, and flogging would have been a form of discipline in the ancient world. They would have done it to discipline children, fools, slaves. It could have been actual legal. We see that with Christ in Rome, that they did that as a legal punishment. Obviously, Christ was not guilty, but they would use flogging in that culture to as a form of corporal punishment, as a form of punishment by the law. And so here we see that a fool can receive 100 floggings for their folly and not learn from it. But a wise person, a man of understanding, just a verbal rebuke, a verbal correction goes much deeper. That it goes deep into your core, that you heed it, you take it. But it's the fool who can be actually physically flogged and won't learn from correction. So you have to check your heart this evening. Are you wise in this area of your life, or are you a fool? Because the reason we're covering this topic right now is that it's directly correlated to pride and humility. You know, we looked at pride and humility last, and this is directly, the proud person is the one who hates to be corrected, because the proud person is wise in their own eyes. The proud person thinks they've got it all figured out and they don't need correcting. It's the humble who know that they don't know everything. It's the humble who knows that they need correction, that they need help. The humble know that they need someone else to come in and to rebuke them and to help them. Another thing we see about the wise in Proverbs, look at Proverbs 19:25. It says, strike or flog a scoffer, and the simple will learn prudence. Reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. It says here that the simpleton, the one who can still be formed, by observing the flogging, the discipline of a fool, he can learn prudence. He can learn the way of wisdom. Do you think it's better to learn from your own making your own mistake? Or is it better to see someone else's failure and to learn from that? It's better, right? It's better, like, if, you know, you saw someone else burn their hand on the stove and you know it's hot now, that you're not going to go over there and put your hand on the stove. If you do it, you're a fool. You just watch the person get burned. The wise person sees that leads to pain. That leads to suffering. That leads to destruction. I'm not going to go down that path. The simple can be, even the simple-minded, the one who hasn't made a decision for wisdom, learns from that. So much more the wise. The wise person sees when those who go the path of folly, we can observe that and see that that leads nowhere good. That leads nowhere life-giving. That leads to death and destruction. And indeed, it says in this verse that when a wise reprove a man of understanding, and he will gain knowledge. Again, that the wise person, when they're reproved, when they're rebuked, when they're corrected, they learn. They take it to heart. They take it and they see what they can do to change. They seek the Lord. They repent. They turn from their sins and they turn to righteousness. Now, obviously, people can correct you and be wrong, right? People can correct you and they're just being picky, or they haven't taken the log out of their own eyes and they think they see this little speck in your eye. That's a reality that happens. But it's still, if you are wise and you are humble, you will receive it with all humility. You will receive it and you will try to find the kernel of truth in it, right? You'll try to see, okay, maybe they're blowing it a bit out of proportion. Maybe I'm not the most vile human being who's ever walked planet Earth, but maybe they got a point. Maybe I do cut people off all the time when they're talking to me. Maybe I do. Maybe I am very rude to my spouse, my wife, at home or in public. Maybe I am doing these things. And the wise person knows that there is folly wrapped up in the heart. The wise person knows that we're being sanctified. And as Calvin said, sanctification is like a baby crawling through the mud. As Lloyd Jones said, as I heard this the other day, soul work is slow work. That we're being transformed. Sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's a sustained effort in sanctification. All right, so the wise love correction, and the wise learn from correction. The wise also do something else. The wise seek counsel. The wise are those who seek counsel. Proverbs 18:15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. They seek it out. They acquire it. They look for it. They don't just assume that they know everything, but they look for wisdom. Proverbs 15:12 again, which I think we already read. By inference, we can learn from this proverb, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. That it is the wise likes to be reproved and so goes to the wise. And that's what we ought to be like. We need to be those who seek counsel. We need to seek counsel. We need to seek counsel from the Lord. We've, you know, quoted this verse many times throughout the series that says, James says that if anybody lacks wisdom, let him pray in faith to God for wisdom, and God will give it. If you pray in faith, if you're not double-minded, if you truly believe that he will give you wisdom, he gives you wisdom. He promises to give you wisdom. When you need wisdom for a situation, you need counsel on what you need to do in a situation, your first stop must be the Lord. It must be in prayer. It must be seeking his face for him to guide you. And he will guide you by his Spirit. As I've already mentioned, that we have the Spirit who is the counselor. We see that in Isaiah 9:6 and 11:2, that it's the Spirit of counsel. In John 16:13-15, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to send the counselor. He's going to send the one who will be there to counsel you and lead you into all truth. You have the Spirit. You need to walk by the Spirit. The Spirit will guide you into wisdom, into all situations. As you're living out your life, submit yourself to the Lord. Let yourself be guided by him. Let yourself be guided by what he says is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And we know that from what? From his word. He speaks to us through his word. And we get practical wisdom through his Spirit. He gives us guidance on how we ought to apply those things in everyday life. So one, we need to seek wisdom from the Lord, but we also should seek wisdom from our elders. We ought to seek wisdom from our elders. I have the wrong reference in your notes there. I think it says James 5. You should cross it out. It's supposed to be 1 Peter 5. Turn with me there to 1 Peter 5. We'll look at 1 through 5. Or 1 through, probably 1 through 7. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. We have twofold exhortation here. One is to the elders, that the elders of the church would shepherd the church well, that they would exercise oversight. We know from the qualifications for elders that elders are those, they're not super Christians. They're mature Christians. Christians who, you know, those lists are lists of mature qualities that every Christian should aspire to, right? To be blameless, to be above reproach, to be faithful to your wife, to, you know, these are things that are true, are good for every Christian, except for the one that you have to be able to teach. Not everybody has to be able to teach. So the elders in the church are those who are wise, those who are mature in the faith. And the elders are exhorted here to lead the flock, to do so in a way that is exercising oversight, paying attention to the flock and their lives. And that's what your elders do here at this church. The elders at this church love you. I mean, we meet to pray for you. We talk about what's going on in your lives and how we can serve you and help you. The elders of this church want to see you thrive in your walk with God. They want to see you making good decisions and walking with the Lord. And we love you. We love you. With all of our hearts, we love you. We really do. And this is what we're called to do. And you're also called to do something. You're called to be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I would tell you that, and it also says in Hebrews 13 that you should, you know, obey your elders. That when you have to make decisions, when you're making decisions in your life and you're moving in a direction, go to the elders of the church. Seek out their wisdom. They love you. They care for you. We want to see you thrive. We want to see you do good. We want to see what God working in your life. And you need to make decisions or you're struggling with something. Go to the Lord, number one, and you should go to your elders. You should go to those who take care of your soul, who care for you and shepherd you. Go to them. Talk to them. Seek their counsel. We want to guide you in the right direction. We want to guide you in the way. And we may give you bad counsel at times. We may not give you the right way. We may fail. But you should check all that against what the scriptures say and what the Lord is and how the Lord is leading you. None of us want to bind your conscience and keep you from obeying what the Lord is calling you to do, where He's leading you. We would never want to restrain you in that way. But the wise seek out counsel. So seek counsel from the Lord. Seek counsel from your elders and seek counsel from one another. In interest of time, I'll just say from Ephesians 4, we see that there's a ministry within the body of ministering to one another. You know, the role of the pastor and the elders is not to do ministry for you. The role of the elders is to equip you for ministry, to equip you to minister to one another and to be a voice in the world, to proclaim the gospel, to minister to the orphans and the widows and the hurting and the sinful and the rebellious. That is the role of the elders, to equip you for that. And we are to be building up one another, and we can seek counsel from one another. If you know another brother or sister in the body has gone through something that you're going through or has made a decision similar to what you have to make, it would be very wise for you to go to that person and to talk to them. It'd be very wise for you to go to them and ask them what they learned through their circumstances, what pitfalls that you should avoid, and how you can learn from their mistakes or from their successes. Learn from one another. The body is being built up, and the body is building one another up into a perfect manhood, into a mature body of Christ. And we need to have that body ministry in our church, where we're praying for one another, where we're helping one another, where we're checking up on one another, where we're encouraging one another. And quickly look at another thing that, another reason that the wise seek out counsel is that counsel leads to success, we see in Proverbs, but that if you despise counsel, it will lead to your ruin. If you despise counsel, it will lead to your ruin. Proverbs 24, if you want to turn there, Proverbs 24, verses 5 through 6. A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge enhances his might. So the wise is strong, but they seek out to be stronger because they know that they have room to grow. Verse 6, for by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. Now, in the context of Proverbs, it's probably talking about actual warfare and strategy and stuff such. But we are at war, aren't we? We're not at war against flesh and blood, but against powers and authorities. We are against the dark forces of this evil age. We're at war against our flesh. We're putting sin to death. We are at war with the philosophies of this world and the lies of the evil one. We are at war. And if you want to do war well, then you need wise guidance. And you need an abundance of counselors. There's a reason that the church is led by a plurality of elders. Because a one-man show isn't going to go anywhere well. Not going to go anywhere good. But there's strength in numbers. Because people have different experiences. People have different counsel to bring to the table. They have different perspective. And so abundance of counselors, there's strength. There's a victory in that. And so we ought to be ones who seek counsel from a multitude of counselors. That we especially for big decisions, that we are seeking out multiple voices to hear what we need to know in order to go in the right direction. And we need to be careful who we are getting counsel from. You need to be very careful who you get your counsel from. You need to look at their life. You need to examine where they are. If you see where someone's at and they're in a good place, then that's someone you want to get counsel from. There's someone who loves the Lord, who seeks the Lord, who's mature in the faith. That's someone to get counsel from. You know, what's the fruit on the tree? If you're going to get counsel from them, you're probably going to end up getting the same fruit that they have by their counsel. So if all they got is bad fruit, all they have is a mess, then you probably don't want to get your counsel from them. You know, I don't know if it's a lady or a man, but they wrote a book on marriage and they've been divorced 5 times. Do you think you should read that book on marriage? Probably not. It's probably not the best book to get advice on marriage from. I don't know where that person's at. Maybe they've grown a lot, but I think I want to learn from someone who's got a strong marriage. They've been going strong for 30, 40, 50 years. That's who I want to learn about marriage from. Or I think of during World War II, there was a commander of the, I'm going to say this wrong, you'll have to help me, Brother Mike, if I'm wrong. Is it Luftwaffe? Is the German Air Force? Huh? Luftwaffe. There we go. Well, the commander of that was Hermann Wilhelm Göring. Göring? Göring. A German. I've never learned German, so I messed it up. Yeah. Anyways, this guy Hermann, he was the command. What? Anyways, this general, he was the head of the Air Force. And Germany was getting ready to go to battle against Britain. And so he counsels Hitler, and he tells Hitler that we need to show them the strength of our Air Force, and we're going to bomb them out. We're going to bomb them into submission. And I'm telling you, Hitler, this is how we're going to win. And so Hitler listened to him, and that's what they did. The Battle of Britain. They bombed Britain to oblivion, but they couldn't break the resolve of the British people. They couldn't win. They kept bombing them. I mean, there's stories that are amazing during that time. I mean, the people had such resolve because they had a great leader. And they had buckets all ready with water. When the bombs would come, the sirens would go off and they would hide. And then they'd all ready and they'd go put all the fires out within minutes. They'd have the fires out from the bombs. This was really bad counsel, because the whole reason that this general gave that counsel was because he had made some blunders in the past. And he was trying to build up his name in the Air Force. You know, Germany could have beat Britain in a moment if they would have just invaded by sea. They would have came in with ground troops. There's no way that Britain could have withstood their onslaught. The whole point of the story for this is that our counsel matters. Who we're getting counsel from, what they tell us in the path we should go, it matters. It can lead to victory or it can lead to defeat. And so you need to be careful who you're listening to. And I'm glad that Hitler got bad counsel. He actually got it quite a bit and made lots of bad decisions in World War II. And I'm glad, because I don't want to know what the world would have been like if Hitler got good counsel. Or, you know, you think of, is it King Jeroboam or Rehoboam that was right after Solomon? No? Rehoboam. Well, immediately after. Because they were the split kingdom. Okay. Anyways, whichever one it was, that he had the counselors that were with his dad, Rehoboam. He had the counselors who were with his father, Solomon. Do you think they probably were pretty wise? I mean, they hung out with Solomon all the time. Pretty wise. And the people are frustrated because Solomon put them under a lot of slave labor and such. And so he gets counsel from these wise men, and they say, yeah, you better heed what they're saying and lighten up on them, or it's going to go bad for you. Instead, who does he listen to? He listens to the young fellows. He listens to the foolish young men who are his friends. You know, young people in the room, you need to learn from that story, because that's going to be the tendency, to not listen to your parents. To not listen to the counsel of your parents, instead listen to the counsel of some friends at school, or friends, neighbors, you know, or people that you hang out with. You know, they're not that far down the road, not much farther than you, are they? They haven't lived much more life than you have. Maybe you ought to learn from those who have some experience. Those whose life reflect a life of wisdom and of walking with the Lord. So be careful where you get your wisdom. Because Rehoboam listened to the young fools, and he said he was going to increase the burden on the people more than Solomon did. And there was a rebellion, and he lost, most of the kingdom. So we need to be careful. The other thing as we close is that the wise are those who serve rebuke. And I'm using the word serve very particularly here because we need to have that mindset in view when if we have to correct someone, that we are doing it out of love and service to them. We're doing it because we love them and we are coming as a servant, as their servant, coming to correct them because we want to see them. We love them. We want to see them not giving into sin, not living a life of foolishness. We want to see them be wise. We want to see them do what's right. And we want to come and we want to serve them by loving them in this way. And so the wise give honest rebuke to those in sin. The wise give honest rebuke to those in sin. If you're wise, we need to be looking out for our brothers and sisters. We need to be willing to go to them and to first, as Jesus says, get the log out of our own eyes. To the same measure that you judge others is the measure that you will be judged, it says. So we must be careful that we're not nitpicky with people. You put a heavy yoke on others and how you expect them to live. That's the judgment you will receive as well. Do you have that same standard for yourself? So we need to be careful. We need to get the log out of our own eye. And then we can go to a brother or a sister and correct them in love. In love because we see what it's doing to them. We see that the path they're on is leading to destruction, to pain, to sorrow. And we're doing it because we're trying to save them, not because we're trying to make ourselves look better. We're trying to love them and to let it bring them out of that, to keep a sinner from going the path of folly. Another thing a wise person does when they're correcting someone is Proverbs 18:13 says, 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. The wise person is careful not to pronounce judgment, rebuke, correction before they have all the facts, before they listen to the other person, before they heard them out and try to understand. You know, you see something and someone's offended you, or you see them doing something, you go to them and you say, listen, this is what I've seen. This is what I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to understand. Is this what's going on? Is this what's going on in your heart? Is this what am I seeing it right? And, you know, and you're bringing that evidence that you have and you're talking it through and you're making sure you listen before you bring reproof. You need to make sure you have all the facts. You need to make sure that you're on the right track. You need to make sure that you're not just misinterpreting it, that you're on the right mark. And the other thing the wise person does when serving rebuke is they're careful who they rebuke. You're careful who you rebuke. It's actually not wise. And this is hilarious. My wife pointed this out to me before I came up. It says the wise don't cast their pears before swine. They actually might like that. I don't know. But pearls. It's supposed to say pearls. Don't cast their pearls before swine. Sorry about that. Huh? Apples? Anyways, the wise don't cast their pearls before swine. We already saw that in Proverbs chapter 9 as we were going through Proverbs that it's foolish to reprove a scoffer, that is a hardened apostate. It's foolish to do that because it's just going to bring you a beating, it says. It's going to bring you pain and sorrow and suffering. And Jesus, in the same passage where he's saying, you know, take care of the plank in your own eye before you correct the speck in your brother's eye, before you serve a rebuke, you know, be careful. And then he goes on to say, don't cast your pearl before swine. Don't bring it to the dogs. Don't try to correct them in the way of wisdom if they hate God. If they hate his ways, then you're wasting your time and you're going to just bring all sorts of pain and sorrow on yourself. So we need to be careful about who it is we're going to rebuke and correct. We need to be careful that we're not casting pearls before swine. Yes, sometimes you do need to answer a fool according to his folly. At other times, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And you know what's required for that? Wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom from God. You need that wisdom, that guidance to know when is the time to rebuke and when is the time where it would be foolish to rebuke someone because it's not going to go anywhere. And you need that wisdom. You need that understanding. And probably some of that you're just going to have to learn by making mistakes. Sometimes you realize, wow, That was not the best thing to do. That was not the best way to do that. And I think I'm going to approach that a little differently next time. And so there's wisdom involved in all that. What wisdom is involved in all in rebuking others. And when we say rebuke, always in love. Always in love, because you're looking out for the best interests of the other, because you love them. You care for them. You want to see them walking with the Lord. You want to see them walking by the Spirit. You don't want to see them going the path of folly. You don't want to see them destroying their lives. And they're driving right at a brick wall. And you're saying, look, this is dangerous. There's a wall there. The bridge is out. Careful. It's all out of love. All out of love. And so as we close, we see again that the wise are those who love correction. Not only do the wise love correction, the love learn from that correction. The wise seek out counsel, knowing that you need counsel in order to succeed. That if you despise counsel, if you despise it, you don't look for it, you think you're wise in your own eyes, you think you've got it all figured out, you think that you can make your own decisions without any input from anyone else, it's going to lead to destruction, it's going to lead to pain, it's going to lead to sorrow. And the wise are those who are willing to rebuke others with all wisdom, to do it in love, to do it with listening to all the facts, to hearing someone out, to trying to understand, and to be careful who you rebuke. To do it with all wisdom, and to not cast your, not pears, pearls before swine. So let us be those who are wise. Let us be those who correct and heed correction. Let us be those who seek out counsel and who, by the Lord's grace, give good counsel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we've had together as a church family. We just thank you for this body. We just pray that you bless us as we go from this place. Lord, I pray that you be with your people, that you lead your people by your Spirit, and that we would walk in all wisdom as we seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen.